Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. On today's program, my guest is Robert Sherwood of Oak City Technology. And Robert is located in the Frontier Building in RTP. He's a graduate of NC State University. He's an Eagle Scout, a native North Carolina, an all-around wonderful guy.
Thank you.
And so I'm welcoming him today. And before we get started, I need to remind you that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and underwriters. And now let's talk websites, SEO, and what small businesses need to know about these items. So, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, get us started. You work with small businesses at Oak City, and you're helping them optimize their websites, SEO, and all of these components. So, explain what you do for your clients and why it matters.
Absolutely. So, in today's landscape, having a website that can either direct traffic to your brick and mortar location or bring in leads through your website via contact forms or just simply having them call you, that's extremely important in today's business environment and one that people tend to overlook. Having an outdated website that isn't necessarily built for Google to really efficiently scan and read, that can really negatively affect how consumers and other businesses find you online. It can be nearly impossible sometimes.
Well, and with more and more people not using the desktop computer or the laptop, those mobile devices, how it looks there, and I know Google and all the others went to this search engine type thing that said, okay, if you're not mobile friendly, you drop down in the rankings.
Yeah, so last year Google enacted to where if you search for something on a mobile device and your search results might come up with something that doesn't have a mobile-ready website or a responsive design website, you can literally be sitting in a restaurant and Google them on your phone, and if they don't have a responsive design, mobile-friendly website, they will not show up on Google. You can be sitting across the street next to them in the building. They won't show up because Google will not show you search results that you do on a phone or a tablet that they will not connect you to non-mobile-friendly sites. So that's extremely important today. I think something between 60 and 64% of all web traffic happens on phones and tablets, which is a crazy amount to me, and the estimate is something like upwards of 80% by 2017, 2018. And so all websites that were built in the last, you know, previous to about 2-3 years ago will have to get rebuilt or you're going to get phased out of Google search results just by default. So it's a interesting evolution that Google has caused, and unfortunately and both beneficial, we all live under the reign of Google. They are by far the leaders in search engine results, and over 90% of search engine hits go through Google.
Well, and let's talk about what is search engine optimization, what are search engine results, and why do we need that built into our site?
So search engine optimization, or SEO, it's a large concept. It has a lot of different factors that determine where you rank on a page of Google, location being one of the biggest ones. Google today is focusing very highly on matching local search traffic to local companies. So say your HVAC, your air conditioner unit goes out.
Right.
And you say, you go into Google, how to repair a air conditioner unit. Say you want to try and do it on your own. If you're a local HVAC company and you write a blog answering that specific question, it's going to connect you because you're both local. As long as you have the, as long as your website, being the HVAC company, is built for Google to be able to read that.
So when you write that blog, it needs to have the things that are called tags within
that's
the lingo.
That's exactly correct.
It says do-it-yourself HVAC repair, HVAC repair, at-home HVAC repair.
Exactly.
Those types of things. And so if that blog doesn't have it, chances are Google and the other search engines aren't going to see it.
That's exactly right. So keywords are probably the most important aspect of that. Picking keywords that people are searching for. So we'll move to another example, say a plumber. If you're a plumber in a local area, say Chapel Hill, Cary, Durham, Raleigh, you're going to want to have professional plumbing services, Raleigh, North Carolina, Cary, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You always want to have a keyword of what you do along with a location tag next to it in either a H1 or an H2 tag.
It's an H1 and an H2.
So an H1 and an H2 is it's the headers that you find on a website. H1 is the big titles that you see on either it's a title of a blog or the title of a heading in a section of a website. That tells Google if something's in an H1 or an H2 tag, it says, hey, this is important. This is more important than the information under it. Pay attention to this.
So if we're talking about plumbing and let's say it's an emergency plumbing situation. Mm-hmm. Somebody's like, it's the middle of the night. They're going to go out and they're going to Google emergency plumbing. If I have a heading on my website that says emergency plumbing services, that H1 heading is going to match up to that H1 search.
As long as a little bit more goes into it, say, but yes, generally that's the way it works.
In the biggest concept,
another important aspect is your website has to be coded in the back end correctly for Google to efficiently read it.
And what does that mean?
So you need to have the schema appropriate, and the schema is the language of the web page, basically. It needs to be in the order and the general design of what Google is looking for, and other search engines. They all subscribe to what's called schema. It was developed by a third-party organization, and everyone adopted it. Google, Yahoo, Bing, they all adopted the schema
formula. So when we're talking about that schema, if we're using, let's say, WordPress, we built it ourselves, as long as we follow the way WordPress directs us to structure it, is that going to get us to the schema or not?
It's going to be better than building it in straight HTML or CSS on your own. It's going to be inherently better, but it's not going to be perfect. You know, even using plugins, it's hard to really get it perfect. You know, as a small business owner, it's hard to do it on your own and really understand the technicality behind it. But it's not something that can't be done. You know,
so explain more about the scheme, because I think a lot of people think, well, WordPress is free. I can go out. Mm-hmm. I can build my site from scratch. I can use that tool. I want to do it myself and save the money.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I need to know that I'm going to miss in that step of developing that schema?
So a lot of times with WordPress, you're installing plugins, and you don't have control over what the backend code looks like. A lot of times what I see with WordPress websites is the whole website is built with plugins.
Right.
And that is not necessarily a good thing because you have different competing types of code, different structures, just a lot of different fingerprints in your website.
Right. So I'll use my website as an example. So I had someone build it. And so it's in there. We have pages, we have posts, we have blogs, we have the podcast from this show. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, appearances, but I have a few plugins. Yeah. I have a Gravity Form plugin if you want to be my guest, that kind of stuff. But this substantial part of my website is in the WordPress structures and with a few plugins to do extra things.
And that's totally fine. That's relatively common, and that's probably the best way to go about a small business WordPress site is to do a lot of do whatever code you can, either page structure of title tags, header tags, you know, making sure your business address is on every page in the footer or the header, making sure you have descriptive meta descriptions, descriptive URLs, so you'll
have... Okay, let's back up. Mm-hmm. Meta descriptions?
Yeah, meta descriptions is basically have you ever Googled a business and you see the pages listed out in Google where it says if you Google Oak City Technology, it'll say home, about, like in there. That description of that page is it is a meta description. So it's telling Google what this page is about in short form.
So whenever you built your about page, you filled in a field that says meta description, or how does that come about?
Yeah, so that is that's not necessarily something that's easy to do in a WordPress page. It can be done. You know, that goes along with like an XML sitemap, which is, you know, basically a small version of a directory for your whole website for Google to search through. So those can be generated through plugins. Meta descriptions, they can be. I wouldn't recommend it. They should be coded into the website in the back end. But it can be done.
So when we're sitting down with you and we come in and we're like, okay, I have this, my website's, let's say, 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those people that redo it every 3 years. Mm-hmm. So that would just
good.
Be that would be stressing me out if it was 8 years old. So let's say my website's 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I've basically had an about page, a contact us, and it's pretty much just been a static website. I built it 8 years ago. What do I need to come in mind to sit down with you and design the new website?
So there's a couple things that go into designing a new website. It's, I always ask, what do you want people to do on your website?
Okay.
And you build the website around that. It's what's your goal? Is your goal to get people to call you? Is it to get people to download your podcast? Is it to get people to read your blogs or anything like that? And then you structure the website around that, using either a minimalist design perspective, so you don't overload a user when they get to your website. You're using elements to direct someone to what you want them to do. So it's important to think about what you want your website to do, and if it's not doing that, you probably need some sort of redesign.
So let's think about this. Mm-hmm. So again, I always say don't want to offend the psychiatrists and psychologists out there, but I say I have multiple personality disorder. So I do the radio shows, mm-hmm. I write books, I do the business consulting, I do workshops. Mm-hmm. And so when you come in, I like to funnel everyone to those different elements.
Yeah.
And so I land them on different pages, mm-hmm. let's say. And so when you come in, it's often difficult to juggle all of those different calls of action, because I used to have 7 websites, and that was a pain to maintain, mm-hmm. and it was expensive to redo every 3 years. And so now I have one platform that all of those are sort of woven into. Mm-hmm. And so when you come in, you're saying, well, what do I want to do? And that was one of the biggest challenges setting down with the designers when we were doing it, because if you can't explain your business and ever how complex it looks like, I do one thing. I advise on the creation of the schemes, the structures that make businesses grow, whether that's a startup or whatever. But there are different elements that people want to come in and take it. And so we need to fully understand our business and communicate that to you when
we come in.
To make sure it's like, okay, yes, sometimes there's a call to action to do a workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to sign up for a workshop. Sometimes I want you to take the free consulting.
Yeah.
It's there. And so managing that and having that conversation, if we don't know our business and we don't know what we want to do, the website's just going to kind of be...
It's going to be a reflection of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos. Yeah. I was trying to think of a nice word for it.
Chaos.
It used to be garbage in, garbage out,
mm-hmm.
right? So... Are there questions in a process that you go through with your clients?
Yeah, absolutely. I have 5 questions that I ask.
Let's hear those 5 questions.
New client. It's what do you want visitors to do when they come to your website?
Okay.
And then when they answer, I ask them why.
Okay.
Why do you want that?
So I want them to sign up for a free consultation.
Why?
Because that's the funnel into them buying consultations.
Okay.
Right?
Is that the most important thing?
Let's say
for
yes.
them to do. Okay, then yes. So then what I would recommend is we would have a call to action on the homepage very clearly with a big nice background, and the first thing that they would see is directing them to that.
Okay.
And then you would scroll down. In the modern web, we're going to have a small aside here. It's important to recognize that pages are long today.
Yes.
Because they have to be when they're on, and especially in responsive design, people are conditioned to scroll on their tablet or their phone.
Not click through to the navigation.
Not click through. That's exactly right. So you want to build it to scroll using parallax scrolling or however you want to design that. So you can have a lot, you know, 4 or 5 sections on the homepage, and each section, and by section I mean actual you know, horizontal right. section, you know, and they don't have to say a lot. They just have to have different ideas. So a basic website is going to have a nice header with a menu and then a call to action as the first and only thing people see. The second is going to be, what are our three main services?
Okay.
You know, HVAC repair, heating repair, moisture control for a home. And then you scroll down and you have testimonials by clients.
Okay.
And then you scroll down, have a contact form. That's a great basic homepage to have to try and funnel people into your website. It says who you are, what you do, why they should choose you, contact me.
And is that actually the actual homepage, or is that more of a landing page type thing?
It can be either.
Okay.
It can be either. I try and design homepages that way for people who are trying to get people to contact them. Now, signing up for a newsletter, that might be, you know, a slightly different design. It depends on a lot of factors. And, you know, I would say every website is unique in some way. They're all fingerprints.
Not, because every business isn't the same.
That's exactly right. Some people want to portray a slightly different image, even though they do the same type of service. Someone might target a different area. Someone might target might have higher prices, so they're targeting a different demographic.
Right.
It just really depends on what the business goals are, and it's important to keep that in mind. And as a web developer and a small business liaison, it's important to always ask why. Why is this important? You know, what do you want visitors to do? Why do you want them to do that? What's most important for you? And it's also important to keep in mind what your budget is, because sometimes people want these.
So is that the third question? What's your budget?
It is.
Okay.
And it is. And a lot of times people don't answer that because they don't know. Then modern web design today is much different than it was several years ago in terms of cost. It's not necessarily to say it's more expensive, but it's a little bit more complicated. If you want effective SEO, you know, back end
right.
coding, it goes into a lot. So you have to keep all of that in mind.
Well, and it's actually an investment for a business that doesn't want. I mean, very few people use the manual yellow pages mm-hmm. anymore, although they still deliver them to your house,
yeah.
whether you want them or not. And so you're sitting there and that is often your only point of contact mm-hmm. for somebody to find your number. People tend to go to their smartphone yep. or their tablet or their computer when they need X.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that point that they already have made the decision, I have to buy something
yes.
that you want to be able to connect to them.
That's
and so
exactly right.
it's an investment in making that connection.
So that brings up a good point. Today, if you're searching on your phone for something, so say the statistics say that if you're searching for something on your phone, you're about 60% more likely to visit that store today or buy that product today than you would when searching on a desktop.
Right.
So if you can't be found on a mobile device and you're a brick and mortar location, you don't have a responsive design website or a mobile ready website,
you're cutting out 60% of the population of potential customers.
Absolutely could be cutting out 60% of your percent.
Well, and I'm going to say it's probably even a higher percentage
mm-hmm.
if you're targeting, I'll say 35 and,
mm-hmm.
and younger
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, that's an appendage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like their sixth finger.
100%.
Right. And so you could wipe out your entire target market if your website is not mobile friendly.
Yeah. To be perfectly honest, you know, I don't even use a desktop at home. I use a phone and a tablet. I only use a laptop at work. When I'm at
the
home.
The older you get, the larger the screen has
yeah,
to get.
Yeah, I'm
sorry. right.
You know, I have, you know, a big computer for working and web development. But when I'm at home, I don't use that. I can do everything I need on a tablet or a
right.
phone. So it's an interesting dynamic to see that change over time and see the evolution go towards smaller devices with slightly larger screens.
Right.
And mm-hmm.
it does make a difference.
It
you
makes
can
a
only
huge
you can,
difference.
And fonts. And so I was noticing went on someone's website this week. It was mobile friendly, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't, I'm going to say, baby boomer friendly.
Yeah.
Because the contrast between the font and the text was like a light green on a white background.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, even if I'd gotten a magnifying glass, I don't care how big
mm-hmm.
I would have blown, there wasn't enough contrast. So again, that's, you may like light green.
Yeah.
But if I can't read it, I'm finding somebody else's website.
That's exactly right. So you have about 15 to 30 seconds when someone lands on your website for them to decide to stay there. Average bounce rate is somewhere between 15 and 30 seconds depending upon the industry. You have that amount of time to tell them who you are, what you do, why I should choose you, and you can't overload them with information. They don't want to see your specials. They don't want to see, your about page on your homepage. They want to see who you are, what you do, and why I should choose you. And that's just instinctive.
It's like, who are you? It's what's your problem? On my page, mm-hmm. It's what your problem.
Yeah.
Who are you? And then basically, how can I help?
That's exactly right.
And it's like, so it's like the first thing is, you know, you're looking for business growth. That's mm-hmm. like one lovely little tree emblem. Yeah. And then below it's like, well, am I a small business? Am I a nonprofit? And kind of funneling you down then to find the things that are more applicable to you. And then you kind of funnel down. And it's like, you don't need to contact me if it's one of these frequently asked questions. Sure, yeah. Click on this and get some information.
FAQ pages are great.
And you just kind of go through that. And somebody said, well, what's your process? Well, I like the fact with my site, it's like somebody asked me what the process was for something. Created a visual and just then added it to the homepage right under FAQ. So everybody knows, okay, what is this process I would go through?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just building that information. And too many websites, I think, are static.
Yes.
It's like looking at a poster in a window.
Yes.
And people are going to pass it by because they want current information. And I'm hitting my website pretty much every day with some kind of new information.
That is a great point. And I'm glad you brought that up. With going back to a little bit with SEO to that point, releasing new content is an extremely important aspect of a modern web environment. Something like an estimated 20 to 30% of all SEO is determined by new content that you release. If you have a static website that you haven't released anything on in 6, 7, 8 months, Google is going to start bumping you down the page because you're not keeping up with local demand. Local search results are still there. You need to keep up with that, and that's answering questions that your clients give you on a daily basis. The best thing to do for a small business who doesn't have a blog is to just write a 300 to 500 word blog on every question that every single client asks you, because every industry has that.
Well, and I have old articles that have been out for years, mm-hmm. and I still get email questions. Yeah. And I like to take that email question, embed it in a document, give the mm-hmm. little answer, and I always have to say, I'm not a lawyer. Yeah. This does not replace custom advice and stuff. But and then you put it up there, and then you can just pop it up as a post.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an interesting process, because I also like to track those, because it lets me know what are the issues mm-hmm. that the population that I'm serving has.
Analytics are super important.
And so that's kind of like my version of a keyword. Sometimes it's like, I know it's going to be independent contractors. It's going to be wages. Yeah. It's going to be overtime questions. It's going to be, oh, crap, did mm-hmm. I not comply with this? I'm mm-hmm. a government contractor. What do I do about this? And it's going through those processes and then saying, okay, I need to put that content out there. And I have to confess that I am not as quick to do that anymore used to be, because there's just so much going mm-hmm. on. And so, and I hit it with something pretty much every day.
Well, that's great. An easy way to get a lot of content for someone who doesn't necessarily have a lot of time to invest is write top 5, top 10 reasons
lists,
to do hit list. And then you take each one of those points, and that's a social media share, directing back to your website blog. Right. You want to get that spider web and everything directing back to your website. You want the website to be the focal point of all of the content that you share. And every social media tweet, well, not every single one, but the majority of them should link back to your website. You can go to our Twitter, and we have a top 10 ways to improve local SEO on your website. We take each one of those points, we tweet that headline out, and says, learn more at our website.
Right.
And it's fantastically effective for driving traffic to that blog.
Every Tuesday, new podcast from the show mm-hmm. comes up. You tweet it out. You mm-hmm. tweet, and it's directing people back to know and giving them content through that and through different formats.
Sure.
Because some people like to hear audio. Some people want to read the print. Some people want a video. And mm-hmm. so it's managing that multimedia experience on your website, too. But there are drawbacks that if you put that multimedia experience in the wrong place, people click off. Because I know if I have to sit there and watch the video, or the moment I click on a website, some audio starts playing.
really shouldn't do that.
I'm off that site.
Well, especially because, like I said, 60% of all traffic happens on mobile devices. You can't have an auto-playing video or an auto-play audio on a website because your mobile browser is either going to block that, not show it, or you're going to be somewhere you're not supposed to, and you have a video start playing.
Yeah,
and everybody's been around that.
It's not good being at the corporate... corporate, you know, conference table with your boss, and suddenly you're clicking on something, and he thinks you're looking something up, and somebody's video starts playing.
And you think, if you think that person's ever going to go back to your website, they're not. So it's a balancing act of a lot of factors. One that can be done very well with a little bit of experience or a little bit of coaching. It just depends on what your personality is as a business owner. Do you want to take the reins and do this, or do you want to have a professional do it? It just really depends.
Well, and for me, I like, because I am in on the site every day and something changes, I couldn't afford to have somebody constantly updating the website. So I like to build the structure, making sure it's going to work, invest in that experience, and then on a daily basis, finding a page or some, and then I can always reach out and say, hey, John, need to tweak this, or like when I transferred between two back-end systems where I had been directing all the newsletter content and different signups and things had to be changed. And so it was like, you know, here's the code because I built it in the other system. I can't, you know, I need somebody to plug it in. And it's finding that balance between your budget. I mean, I'd be spending $100,000 a year, let's be honest, if every change I did on my website was getting paid for. And it's just, you know, I get to try it out. Yes, I like that. No, I don't. And so each small business can find the personality that they need. Yeah. Some people don't want to touch it.
Yep.
I have clients like that. And when they do touch it, they break it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm getting this little email saying, can you fix this? Because I sent this. And so you can go in, but it's also being aware of what system. Now, we've been talking about WordPress because that's fairly common. But there are other platforms out there, from GoDaddy's to all these different things. And how do we decide which platform we want to work on?
So that is a hotly debated subject. It really depends on the level of control that you want to have. I, as a developer, I would never be able to use a website builder because I don't have control over the back end code. I have no idea. I have no idea if it's going to be optimized for SEO. I have no idea if when Google updates their algorithm, if that system is going to update the way that their pages are dynamically generated. You just have no idea. So it's really important to recognize that if you're going through a website builder, it's definitely convenient, but at convenience, there's always a cost.
Well, and I always say, I tell my clients, I said that one good sign to kind of figure out if that kind of stuff is optimized in the builder itself is, do they add a service that says, if it says search engine optimization is separate, chances are that website builder is not going to do what you want it to do.
Absolutely correct.
Because it's an add-on service.
Well, we just had in October, if I remember correctly, Wix, one of the very large website builder organizations, Google delisted every single Wix website on the internet for a few days. I forget the exact amount of time, but that's detrimental to SEO. Detrimental. So when you don't have control, you don't know if something like that's going to happen.
Well, and you want to work with an experienced, reputable website consulting firm. Because I know, I don't know if it happens as much lately, but like I'm going to say two versions ago, when someone was pitching, I can do your website. And he goes, and we hide the text in white font. And I'm like, what do you mean you hide that? And so it's like they were trying to get the SEO stuff without doing the SEO stuff by kind of building in the pages, these keywords, but you wouldn't see them because it was white on white.
That's an old form of common SEO that has been, I would like to say, phased out.
I would like to too.
Google is much smarter than people give it credit for. The second Google finds something like that on your website,
Your website's gone.
Yeah, you'll have a tag in your search result that said this website may be hacked, this website may be using malicious means. You don't know.
Right. And there goes your business reputation.
Yeah, because you might have to change your business name to get a new website.
Right, and a whole new domain, a whole
that's exactly right. So Black Hat SEO, which is kind of what that's called. Yeah. It's not exactly that, but it can be likened to that situation. That is becoming less and less common the smarter the Google algorithm gets and the wider spread it gets, because now it's content-based, keyword-based, link-based. It used to be that Google is moving more towards a distributed SEO environment, to where it used to mostly be links. So you would have just link pages, to where you would go on other people's websites and you would just see links.
And you would get emails from people saying, let's exchange links. And I'm like, I don't know you. So it's like, I don't know your content. I don't know your business reputation. And for me, it's also something I get frequently, get emails saying, I'd like to write an article for your website. I mean, I'm going to do an extensive background check before someone's ever going to do it. But I don't see that level of robustness that frequently goes on with that. But I know it's people trying to market their business. Yes. They're trying to be a freelance writer, those kind of things. Yeah. And it's not bad, but there are different ways to do that rather than just a cold call saying, I want to put an article on your site. And now we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue those five questions, because we got to number three, but we need to get to number one. Mm-hmm. Focus on Business is underwritten by Focus Resources. Their website is focusresourcesinc.com. That's focusresourcesinc.com.
Hey friends, this is Mrs. Bluegrass from the Bluegrass Breakdown Show on WCOM Radio. Join us for WCOM Community Movie Night at the Silver Spot in Chapel Hills University Place on Thursday, April 28, 2016. The Friends of Chapel Hill and Carrboro's community radio station, WCOM LPFM 103.5, are hosting a party, and you're invited, starting at 6 p.m. at the Silver Spot. We hope you can join us. For more details and an easy link to register for the event, please go to this site, bit.lv/WCOM movie. We hope to see you there on Thursday, April 28th at the Silver Spot Cinema in Chapel Hills University Place. Be there.
Hello, this is Lee Strickland, host of Focus on Business, on Tuesdays, noon to 1 p.m. I'm inviting you to join me for a fundraiser for WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro at 103.5. The fundraiser is a business workshop. It's just $10 at the door to attend this workshop. And this workshop is called Business CPR, How to Get More Cash, Profits, and Revenue for Your Business. Now, the number of seats are limited that are available for this workshop. So you need to act quickly and go to focusresourcesinc.com, products, workshop, and pick Business Growth from the navigation menu and register to reserve your seat for this workshop that you won't want to miss, because I'm sharing with you my success strategies for getting more cash, profits, and revenues in any business. So whether you're starting up a business, you have a business you want to expand, or your business is struggling to find your customers, this is the workshop for you. So come by May 4th to support WCOM-FM here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro with your $10 donation, and register at focusresourcesinc.com. Look for the workshops from the navigation menu and click on Business Growth and click the registration button. And I'll see you on May 4th to get your business growing. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. It's 103.5 on the dial. And now back to Focus on Business. And we're back with Robert Sherwood of Oak City Technologies, and we're talking website SEO in his five questions that he asks his clients. So what do you want him to do? Why do you want him to do it? What's your budget? And what's question number four?
Question number four is, what sites are closest to your vision? That's an important thing to ask people, because people, especially in today's in today's online environment, people go to several dozen websites a day, easily several right. dozen websites a day. So people have in their mind what they want their website to look like, but it's sometimes it's hard to express that vision. And the easiest way to show someone that is to find a website or an element on a website or some section of a website that you like and say, I like this, and then ask them, why do you like that?
So it could be the color scheme, it could be the layout, it could be with the navigation menus, it could be how they present their product or their service, that call to action, and it shop around, basically. Go out there and look at what your competitors are doing, too,
exactly right?
Because you want to do what they're doing, only better.
That's exactly right. You want to look at competition websites. You want to look at websites that are in similar industries but maybe not directly competing to you. You want to look at a lot of different things and say, how can I make my website stand out and also be easy to read and easy to navigate for a user on a mobile device as well as a desktop? So it's a balancing act.
Well, and sometimes you can type in things like, award-winning websites or best, you know, because you want to benchmark. You might want to benchmark if you're in e-commerce, the website that's considered the best website in e-commerce. You might want to do that too for your store, if even if you're a small business and that's not your primary thing. You want to look at the ones that this one's customer service oriented or this one has content, and you benchmark against the best to help the designer design yours as the best.
So it's by far, I feel, as a designer and a developer, the most effective way to see a client's vision. I'll give you an example. We just did a website for a furniture restoration company in Raleigh. We went back and forth on the design several times, and it didn't really click for me of what he really wanted until he showed me the specific website. And then once I saw it, I was like, oh, I get it now. I understand now. And it made the rest of the process go very smoothly, and we were done within a week, whereas we had several hangups before that because the communication about what he wanted didn't revolve around an example.
A picture's worth 1,000 words, but an actual website's probably worth 10,000, right?
A lot, yeah, absolutely.
But we also have to think about when we use certain things, so different cultures when someone's designing. I had one client tell his web designer, well, I want it earth tones.
Yeah.
And it came in blue and green. And and he's like, why is it earth tone? I said, where were they located and where are they from? And he goes, oh, I think they're from India. And when they thought of earth tones, they thought of the picture of the earth from outer space, and it's blue and green and white. And so we also have to think then of what colors we don't want, or what do colors represent. So, and colors have different reactions.
Yes.
And so, again, once the client wanted their website orange and black, and it took me forever to get them to understand, orange and black is not going to keep for your. No. You can do white with some orange and black on it, but if the back of the screen is orange and everything else is black, it's kind of like a Halloween theme year round. And you have to find that balance between your color preferences and the user that's going to hit that website.
That's a great point. That actually brings me into the next question of logo and color scheme. If you have a website that's, 4, 5, 6 years old, odds are your logo is probably a little outdated when it comes to a website redesign, because today's modern website is high quality images, parallax scrolling. The definition on screens of phones and tablets is so high that if you have a logo that's 4, 5, 6 years old and you put it on a brand new shiny website, it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. So you need to keep that in mind of if you are redesigning your website, think about changing up. Don't have to change it completely, but at least redesign it. And if you're starting a business from scratch, keep that in mind as well, of your logo is going to set the tone for the website.
So like my logo, it's square, it's the lighthouse. When it was originally designed, it was a lower resolution because even though it was on the website, no device was high resolution.
No.
So you can, But, you know, that was 2002 we created it. 2009 we did a little, I call it a brush up. We crisped up the lines.
Very smart.
We did some things like that. But you have to be aware of that as you're going forward. And then which file versions, because what was a file version there may not be something that you can load up on YouTube today.
That's
or
exactly
wherever.
Right.
And so you learn that, yes, sometimes you have to go back and ask and invest in graphic design to tweak it, to put in a new file format, to put it in what do they call them, vector files,
vector
and all those
images,
kind of things.
Yeah.
And you have to think about that. And then you get on your website. I tell my clients, if you're going to have your logo, you don't want 12 colors of blue on your website.
Oh.
You want that logo blue and those kind of things. And so knowing those hex codes and all that kind of stuff is important for consistency.
That's exactly right. I try very hard to keep it to two colors that are complementary on the color scale and an accent color of either black or white. That's what shows up best when websites transfer from a large desktop to a small phone or with a responsive design site. You don't want to have a lot of colors. You want to keep it very consistent. You want to keep the header the same color, the footer the same color across the whole website. Consistency is very important because if it's hard to read in any way, if the first thing people see is a red background with dark black text and it's a full paragraph, I guarantee you maybe 1 out of 100 people are going to sit there and read.
Oh, you're
that.
Generous. I'd say it's 1 out of 1,000 because it's just, if it's hard to get that contrast, if it's hard, the older you get, I'm going to say it, you want things that are easy. If a lot of times font, because if there's too many frills and stuff like that, and we have to think about people that may have issues, and it's like, so we want as clean a text as possible,
absolutely,
as easy to read. Save your creativity for your posters and things you're going to hand to someone.
Blog posts,
on your website.
You
want it to really be crisp, clean, and easily read.
That's exactly right. It's all about the user experience of a website. And you know, I like to say that websites today are not newspapers. You can't fill, you know, from corner to corner of a website with information like websites were commonly done just, you know, maybe not even 4 or 5 years ago. Today, it's about a minimalistic design for something that translates to a mobile device.
Right, and you land on that homepage. It can give links then to all that content. You're not putting all that content on that page. It's so like you're not going to lose your blog post. You're not going to lose 800 articles. You're
exactly
not going
right.
to lose your podcast. It's still there, but you want a page that tells them these are the things that we're doing and where to go. So on my homepage, I have a Be My Guest thing because I want people to know, and they're going to click on that and say, well, guest on what, right? So if what is Focus on Business, you go to the podcast.
Yeah.
But they're not all on that one page.
Sure.
There's just touch points that they can find all those different places to go. So when we're on this fifth question, we're saying benchmark this, we've got our budget, we're setting down. What's the normal length of time it takes to go through building a website? And I'm going to say from scratch, because I'm going to assume people don't have it in a platform where it's not worth transferring.
I agree. In today's web design, if your website's 4, 3, 4, 5 years old, it's actually going to be cheaper to rebuild than it is to go in and fix. But a normal time frame for a basic informational website that's not going to have a whole lot of interactivity, you know, you're looking at 3 to 6 weeks, depending upon...
as long as you can answer those questions and all this kind of stuff.
It depends upon, you know, how long it takes to, you know, get the copy from the
right.
the client, because that's another important aspect to realize is that I'm an expert in web design and web development and SEO. I'm not an expert in plumbing or HVAC,
right.
And the words that need to be on your website need to come from you.
And it's what we're working with several clients right now on. I call it their core message. It has to talk about who the customer is, how their operations work, what results they give the customer, and how they execute. But it has to be an authentic voice coming from them. Yes, you can have somebody edit it, wordsmith it for you. But if it's cut and paste from one of any other plumber, HVAC, gas station, restaurant consultant says, it's kind of a Me Too website. Sure. And so you want to be on that Me Too. You want the authentic business absolutely. To show through.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. You know, you're the expert in your industry. And that needs to come through in the website. You need to show people that you're an expert in what you do and that they should choose you based upon that. It's a very commonly overlooked thing when it comes to building websites.
Well, and it's a critical thing from day one. People mm-hmm. think it's expensive or I can Fiverr it.
Yeah.
Some clients do that. And I'm like, okay, that's fine for right now. Sure. We'll get your doors open. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go in and because that, you know, frequently the wrong English is used.
Mm-hmm.
So where you want to say a guarantee, it might say warrant yeah. or there's punctuation missing. And that's not what you want to do. You're still, mm-hmm. so you can start with that if you just need something up in a couple of days.
Absolutely.
But long term, you need to be thinking how that's not working mm-hmm. and planning for that investment. And I call it an investment, not an expense, because it's really not optional in this day and age mm-hmm. to not have a good website.
I 100% agree. 100% agree. It is an absolute investment in your business to have a well-designed, responsive-designed website that's going to bring in traffic from Google. You will see results. Any SEO firm that contacts you through the internet or an email and says, I can guarantee that I'm going to get you to the first page of Google, they're lying to you and they're trying to take your money because it's not like that. It's not an exact science. Google doesn't actually even publish their algorithm.
Right.
You know, all SEO science in quotations is done by trial and error. It takes several months to see results of what happens. Now, working in the industry, you know, for a while, you tend to see what works better than what the other things.
But it's a moving target.
It absolutely is a moving target, and it's always moving. Google is constantly changing the way that they process their search results, and it is something that if you build a website and you leave it there, odds are in a year or two, it's going to be completely outpaced by what Google's doing, and you're going to suffer because of it with search results. It's something that takes not necessarily constant updates, but updates when things change. You have to stay on top of it.
Well, and it's like you can't be static in that anymore than mm-hmm. you want your website to be static, because if you're getting feedback, you're monitoring your Google Analytics on your website,
yep.
you know when people are hitting your page. But are they doing, what are they doing and how long are they staying after they hit that
yeah.
page? And so you're constantly tweaking that to get them directed
yep.
towards what it is you want them to do. So mm-hmm. if they're landing on your podcast, rebroadcast today, so that's great. It's going to open another page. But what do I want them to do mm-hmm. on my website besides get the podcast?
Sure.
And so tweaking that formula, which I still don't have perfected, mm-hmm. but you have to learn because what I also find is different people land on different
yes.
podcasts for
mm-hmm.
different reasons. Some may or may not be in my target market.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it I want them to do? Do I want them to read an article? Do
yeah.
I want them to check out a workshop? And it's respecting them coming in for that
mm-hmm.
to say, okay, what is it? Have I given them enough for
yep.
their visit? And it's working through that. There will never be a day when that's perfect.
That's true.
You're just going to keep after that moving target and learning what your customer base is as you refine your customer base, your message, and all the things that are on your website.
That's very true.
So what are the biggest mistakes people make on their websites
that
we haven't already covered?
Well, no. I think we've covered a lot of the biggest mistakes. I think in today's online environment, the biggest mistake is people not releasing content on a regular interval.
Okay.
It's leaving your website static. But at the same time, that depends upon the industry that you're in. You know, if you're a restaurant, you're not really going to release blog posts all the time. You can, and it's definitely something that you should think about doing, talking about, hey, here's our recipe for this.
Right.
Something like that. That's going to drive traffic to your
website. Or a little short interview
mm-hmm.
with the chef as to why
That's
he
exactly
prefers
right.
this fish or the other, or what he's doing about gluten-free
mm-hmm.
or AIP or some kind mm-hmm. of trending topic.
But when it comes to other industries, you're going to get left behind if you don't release content. It's just the simple fact of the matter, because especially industries with a lot of competition that are very specific. Insurance. Insurance is by far one of the biggest right. competing ones. It's a
financial advisor. And no disrespect, but I'm gonna call them the commodity services, sure. or the commodity mm-hmm. products. Because that's how you're going to demonstrate and differentiate yourself from being yes. that commodity, providing value, and being viewed differently other than,
yes.
I'm X financial advisor within this larger financial mm-hmm. advisor system. And when I go to the chamber, there's 50 financial advisors yeah. there. But if you have a blog that addresses those yeah. issues, then you're standing out differently.
The best way for a commodity industry is give something to someone for free. You know, so I'll give you
something valuable.
Absolutely. So we write blog posts on our website that are how to increase SEO for local businesses.
And give your website.
OakCityTechnology.com or OakCity.tech also works. You want to give people guides that they can follow to do something to either improve their website or their life, depending upon what industry you're in. And when you do that, you're showing that you know what you're talking about.
Right.
That you're good at what you do and that you can help. That you are experienced enough to be able to help them with what they're doing.
It's education marketing, yes. is what I call it, mm-hmm. to build your expertise. Mm-hmm. At that point, it's not a sales or an advertorial. Mm-hmm. It's an actual item that says, yeah. these are the five best steps to improve yeah. SEO, or if you're starting your business, these are the five things yeah. to think about when choosing your legal entity. Those kind of things are actionable and educate, and they also say, well, I think this person might care for me because yeah. they've just shared something valuable they could have charged for,
yeah.
and they seem to know what they're talking mm-hmm. about. And so it's balancing that, but that doesn't preclude that being a lead into a sales funnel.
Sure.
Because
it might not happen.
Right. Great. And so it's juggling those types of things mm-hmm. and those purposes that are – so not being frequent enough. I'm going to throw one at you that sure. you probably won't say yourself, but I'm going to say under-investing in the website.
I'll 100% agree with that. sometimes people and it happens that they might not have a large enough budget to be able to do everything that they want to do. But it's – you can get started.
Phase it.
You can phase it. It's not, you can start with launching a 3-page responsive design website that fits your budget, and then after a year, go in and do SEO, or go in and expand the website to have a better sales funnel. It's absolutely, you can phase modern web design, and it's not hard to do. And sometimes it's even recommended, depending upon the industry that you're in, especially because you don't want to have a huge change if you've had this website that's been a Google powerhouse for you right. for the last 5 years, but it's not responsive design. You know, you're going to want to phase that. You're absolutely
going to want to lose that search yeah. engine positioning yeah. because now it starts over.
Well, whenever you make a change, when you do a full website redesign, you're going to see changes in the way Google processes your website. But that's not a bad thing. On average, it takes about 2 to 3 months for Google to self-correct itself. But that's just because it's a learning of what your new website is. It wants to make sure that, oh, are they going to change it again? You know,
right. And some things you can do is like during that time of them trying to find you is focusing on those keywords. Yeah. Go to Google Keywords and see which yeah. ones are the ones that are in your industry, and publish more frequently, yeah. update it, and with those topics. And so that kind of helps Google refine you.
Yeah.
And do it. And again, if you're not a writer, do an audio or a yep. video, mm-hmm. or hire someone to help give them the content and let them and then write it for, mm-hmm. write it for you.
Yeah, that brings up another good point of problems or mistakes Calages, people yeah. make is not doing keyword research, using Google Keyword Analyzer to see.
And you volume. Can literally go into Google yeah. and say Google Keyword Analyzer; mm-hmm. it'll get there. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah, it is free. So think about it this way. You can be in a crowded industry. We'll go back to plumbing. Or okay. How about we do digital printing services? So you could be a digital printer in Cary, North Carolina, and say digital printing, Cary, North Carolina. There might be 5,000 search hits a month with 8 companies competing for that specific chain of words. But say you add professional professional digital print services carrier in North Carolina, you might have, you know, 4,000 search hits a month for that, but you only have two businesses competing for that. So you have a much bigger share of the pie that you're going to be able to take. So it's really important to look at all of those factors when doing keyword research. Is what's the competition? What's the volume? Am I going to actually be able to make a dent into this? But if you only have these two, three keywords that you're targeting, but everyone else in your industry is too, especially on a local level, you're not going to see the SEO that you probably thought you would.
Well, and I know something I'll do is when I see a search thing, a keyword or key topic everyone's looking for, I'll write an article on it. And I know a certain times when someone did a search, I was the only, plain English article on a technical topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in the phone book. You're going to find me through the website, through referrals and those kind of things. And so when he Googled his topic, he said, "You were the only one that popped up and you're 3 miles from me. Why were you not in the phone book?" I was like, "That's not my business. I'm not a phone book business." Mm-hmm. And so it was very funny because literally you were the only one that had an article, and then it was one I could understand.
Yes.
And so
very important.
Making sure that we put content out there that people can understand and not too much lingo, normal English, all of those kind of thing really helps us connect with our customer.
Mm-hmm.
So one quick tip, because we're actually out of time.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
One quick tip.
Do your research. Really do your research and think about where you want your business to go. Think about the questions of what you want your visitors to do, why do you want them to do it, and what's important to you when it comes to your business and your website.
Well, I want to thank Robert for being on the show
today.
OakCityTechnology.com.
Mm-hmm.
And go out and check out his blogs. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.
Join your community radio family for WCOM Movie Night at the Silver Spot Cinema in Chapel Hills University Place on April 28th. The Friends of Carborough and Chapel Hills Community Radio Station, WCOM FM 103.5, are hosting a movie party starting at 6 p.m. at the Silver Spot. For more details and to register, just click on bit.ly/WCOM Movie. On the internet, that's bit.ly/WCOM Movie. We'll see you on the 28th.
Hello, this is Lee Strickland, host of Focus on Business, on Tuesdays, noon to 1 p.m. I'm inviting you to join me for a fundraiser for WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carborough at 103.5. The fundraiser is a business workshop. It's just $10 at the door to attend this workshop. And this workshop is called Business CPR, How to Get More Cash, Profits, and Revenue for Your Business. Now, the number of seats are limited that are available for this workshop. So you need to act quickly and go to FocusResourcesInc.com, Products, Workshop, and pick Business Growth from the navigation menu and register to reserve your seat for this workshop that you won't want to miss, because I'm sharing with you my success strategies for getting more cash, profits, and revenues in any business. So whether you're starting up a business, you have a business you want to expand, or your business is struggling to find your customers, this is the workshop for you. So come by May 4th to support WCOM FM here in Chapel Hill and Carborough with your $10 donation and register at FocusResourcesInc.com. Look for the workshops from the navigation menu and click on Business Growth and click the registration button. And I'll see you on May 4th to get your business growing.